when we're thinking about personalization or being personal with somebody, we should consider familiarity, acknowledgement, care, intimacy, authenticity, and listening. We should acknowledge the individual. We should try and to be familiar with the individual. We should try and to demonstrate some kind of care. Hey, we should listen. God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. We've got a lovely author episode coming up for you today. It's a very thought-provoking one. Now, we do like to start our episodes with a little thank you to the listeners when you guys have got in contact. So in this instance, I want to say a huge thank you to Jamie Smith. Jamie Smith said some lovely things about our tech stack optimization episode a couple of months ago. Jamie put a comment on one of our LinkedIn posts about it and said, really great episode, especially like the focus of ensuring your client has a plan, understands the issues they need to solve rather than talking tech, getting to an end-to-end audit done and thinking accessibility. Optimizing your tech stack is only going to become more important over the next 24 months with the adoption of AI tools, changing views on composability and increasing need for modularity. Thanks all for a great session. Spot on. Thank you, Jamie. I enjoyed pulling that together and the episode together. And I'm really glad that you, Jamie Smith, enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing that on LinkedIn. If any of you would love one of these shout outs, you know what to do. Drop me a DM or an email. Tell me what you think about the show. Comment on one of our LinkedIn posts or fill in that little Q&A pop-up thing that happens on Spotify or leave a review on Apple. You know all those things. If you do those, maybe I'll be saying thank you to you at the beginning of an episode. Anyway, I said we were going to talk to an author today. Well, this author is someone who I met back in April. David and I were both booked to do the same event in Berlin, Talon One's Incentivize conference. It was a great conference. And we got chatting. I thoroughly enjoyed chatting to David. I got a copy of his book as a takeaway from the event, and I just knew I had to get him on the podcast to share his insights with all of you. So a huge thanks to Sam, Isabel, and the team at Talon One for connecting us. And I really hope you like this one. And make sure, as always, that you listen to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on his top tips and my own take on this episode. And now to introduce our special guest. David Manheim is the author of The Person in Personalization, the story of how marketing's most treasured possession became anything but personal. And he's also the founder of Made with Intent. Hello, David.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. As always, it is an utter pleasure to catch up with you. How did you end up in this weird world of e-commerce?
Serendipity, luck. Fluke, the squiggly career. I don't know, really. I remember I wanted to be in advertising, you know, 6 foot, Aryan, ad man. I think I watched way too much Suits and had no idea what it took to be an ad man. And I went to every interview under the sun of all the acronymed advertising agencies, JWT and BBB and DDB, and failed at every single one of them. And someone in my graduate career thought, you know what? You'd be really good at digital advertising. And my response to that, Chloe, was, I don't want a big pigeonholed. God, where was that? I was 21 and 37 now. So that was however many years ago. Anyway, I somehow went into digital advertising. I obviously got my arm twisted, went into account management, went into UX and then CRO. And mostly from CRO, I think the majority of people in CRO end up in some form of e-commerce world because it's so attributable, right? I guess that's my squiggly career.
I reckon about almost everybody says they end up in e-commerce by accident. And then I think a lot of us end up stuck here because we get excited by that trackability of it all. It's like, it's one thing to be tracking website traffic or blog, you know, percentage of blog read and all that kind of stuff. But to actually be able to directly track to cash is somehow really fulfilling.
Absolutely. I mean, so when you get into the world of A/B testing and you have a control and a variant, and you can directly say, this variant made X pounds more than the control, and I can prove it. That's a pretty special place to be in, right? I think that's why a lot of A/B testers have egos. Oof, I probably shouldn't say that. but yeah, I think you're probably right. I think the attribution side of e-commerce is what makes it so exciting.
Reminds me of like a debate you can have with amongst email marketers. So if we're doing a split test of emails and we're split testing subject lines, keep it really, really simple. You can have a long debate over whether the good impact is the impact it has on the open rate or the impact it has on the click rate.
Mm.
Right? Which one is the most important? You can debate that. Oh, well, the subject line, the open rate's most important because it's who it's appealing to. And then, but the click rate's more important because did it appeal to the right people? It's like, screw all of that. Pounds per 1,000 people sent to. That's all we really care about. It could be the lower open rate and the lower click rate, but if they spend more, then it was the right subject line.
Well, that's interesting. I find us in a bit of a paradox not to jump right into it, right? Because my book is almost how we're in that world, but I like the antithesis of that world. I.e., it shouldn't be all about the pounds and the pence, right? You're losing, oh, quote, the person in personalization, but if everything was about pounds and pence as some kind of commercial attribution, God, what kind of world would we live in? You walk into a store and you get bombarded with sales assistants that throw, I don't know, signs in front of your face. That's certainly what it feels like online, right? So that, I like the idea of it. Sorry, I like the notion of attribution, but have we gone a step too far? I certainly think so.
I think you're right. And I think it's why it's a good job I'm no longer running an advertising agency, specifically a Google Ads agency, because I get the concept that we need to think bigger than which ad drove what click. But in my core geeky heart of hearts, I love it when you can take it down to the number. So before we go down that rabbit hole, because listeners, David and I are prone to rabbit holes, I'll put a stop on that rabbit hole. We'll come back. Okay. Why did you write the book? Tell us why. Because you started straying into it then. Why did you write The Person in Personalization, the story of how marketing's most treasured possession became anything but personal?
Part of it was that, but being honest, it all started at Disney. So I am a Disney fanatic. When I say fanatic, I mean, give me any kind of question and I'll answer it, regardless of whether it's the films, their investment strategy, who the CEO is and the board, what the latest paint color is at Tomorrowland at Walt Disney World Parks. I'm an utter geek with it all. Sycophant, some would say. And I was at Walt Disney World post-COVID and pre-COVID. And you're in what is supposedly the most magical place in the world. And I looked around at me and felt anything but magical. I felt as though I was being nickel and dimed every turn that I would make, right? You have to pay X pounds to go on this ride, or X dollars to go on this ride now, instead of what used to be free. I noticed that hot dog is now 20 cents more than it was just last week. And you're paying $4 for a bottle of water. And I felt as though Disney has so much information on me, having been to Walt Disney World an inordinate amount of times. I think it's about 37 now. Why don't they use any of that information? Why don't they try and tailor the experience? They should, in theory, the masters of storytelling, the masters, therefore, of personalization, they should, in theory, personalize at least some of it to me. And I felt like just a number. So I came away from that trip feeling as though, I wonder if anybody else has this feeling that I had, not just about Disney World, but about the lack of empathy, I suppose, with brand that you love. You know, I'm giving you so much of my love and my identities within you. What am I getting in return apart from you essentially wanting to get in my back pocket? And I went down this rabbit hole, this research rabbit hole of interviewing 10 people and then 20 people, and 20 became 50, 50 became 153 in the end. People, experts around the world, trying to understand why is every year the year of personalization, but no year is. Right? We've never got to that magic treasured island that everybody feels as though we should get to. So my book explores like the why, the high level principles, why we love personalization, both as brands and as recipients of being of personalization, and why we haven't achieved that as of yet. So yeah, it, Chloe, it all started with Disney, being honest.
With frustration with Disney and then frustration with the whole industry.
Yes, it's a love-hate relationship. It's mostly love, though, let's be honest.
Given how many times you mentioned Disney before we hit record, I'm going with, yeah, you still like them. So for an e-commerce brand who has all this data generally on their consumers, because the consumers are buying online and so on and so forth, and gets the concept of personalization, let's face it, the number of tools you can deploy as well for personalization are endless. Mm-hmm. How do they go about actually creating the customer experience that reflects the person and doesn't just rely on the ones and the zeros? Or should it rely on the ones and the zeros?
Well, it kind of has to, right? Data is the only way to get context around an individual. Okay, so it's either explicit context or implicit context, i.e. you infer where the person is in their buying stage or their level of intent or what it is that they're trying to achieve. That's what recommendations are built on, right? You're inferring a preference, or you explicitly ask, how are you doing? Or, you know, how are you feeling? Or how can I help you? And that's the way in-store works. And I don't know, we've all sat in a boardroom and probably listened to some form of CEO or C-suite member say, it's like this in-store. We need to represent that online as well. And that's personalization. I think the delta between the two, the difference between the two, is the lack of personalization, of being personal, of empathy, of the person. And it feels as though instant in-store, where it's two-way communication, online, it's just one-way communication. Interestingly, it's the way we sometimes say it, made of intent, which we can jump on later, is retailers optimize how they sell, not how people buy, which is a really interesting statement. And I feel as though in store, we do the adverse. We optimize how people buy, not how we want to sell. So yeah, you're right, Chloe. There are so many tools out there, but I would argue that a lot of those tools are either A, just based on recommendations, which isn't personalization, that's recommendations, that's something different, right? Product discovery. Or B, they're based on collecting attributes of a user, of a person, an individual, that aren't necessarily personal attributes. When's the last time a product quiz ever said, hey, how are you feeling today? When's the last time you ever had an experience online that demonstrated some form of empathy that wasn't overly commercial, that wasn't trying to coerce, persuade, or get you to do an action? I just feel as though we've kind of lost that connection in the favor of a quick book. Let's be honest, short-termism always wins, right? How do you attribute being personal? How do you attribute this conversation?
What is it we're therefore trying to bring into the online e-commerce experience? Is it more empathy? Is it true personalization? What should we be trying to achieve?
I think the definition of personalization, you know, if you asked 100 people in a room, they would probably all say the same thing, or the sentiment of the same thing, which is right person, right place, right time, right message, that type of thing. I actually define personalization as something slightly different, which is essentially being personal. You know, it's a verb. We'll say it's a verb, some form of verb or noun or English narrative. But I created this thing called the personalization facial, which is funny to say, but it essentially stands for familiarity, acknowledgement, care, intimacy, authenticity, and listening. And those things are not attributable. And I feel as though when we're thinking about personalization or being personal with somebody, we should consider those things. We should understand, we should acknowledge the individual. We should try to be familiar with the individual. We should try to demonstrate some kind of care. Hey, we should listen. You know, God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason, not the other way around. So yeah, I feel as though I've rabbit-holed away from whatever your question was.
It's good because it's personalization, and the personalization projects are one of those difficult projects to get right. It's like loyalty. It's like personalization is similar to loyalty in that I think the great majority of us in the industry get the high level picture. We get that it's a good goal. We get that it delivers for the business. Where we all fall down on is actually working out how to deliver it, which often turns into we install an app, or we launch a program, or we tweak our CRM stuff or something, but we don't actually create the thing we set out to create. And I think that's any solution for that.
Well, let me ask you though, do you believe there's a difference between personalization and segmentation?
Yes, because segments are large chunks of data that you can do something with. So like your 0 to 12 month buyers or your people who spend over £100 a year and who've bought more than three times. They're large chunks of people, whereas personalization for me feels more like, as a marketer, we don't go, right, here's our chunk, we're going to send them that mailing piece. It's more like we build the algorithm that takes all those many things about the person together and then delivers the right thing to them. So I don't think personalization is just segmentation.
So I agree. I think they're two separate things. I just feel as though we're embroiled in a world where personalization and segmentation are the same thing, or even worse, personalization and recommendations are the same thing. So let me ask you another question. Do you feel as though Netflix does personalization, or do they do recommendations?
I think they do recommendations, but I get frustrated with both Amazon Prime and Netflix because they don't do it well enough. They keep forgetting somehow what I've already watched.
They're the best in the world at it, though. Do you know that 80% of everything you've ever watched on Netflix is from a recommendation? 80%.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know how long it took Netflix to attribute personalization towards retention, their core metric? How long do you think it took them to say, you know what, this personalization thing, it really works?
So not just about giving you something to watch today, but giving you something to watch today that will keep you watching in 3 years' time.
Correct.
Oh, see, part of me wants to go, well, they must have built that from day one. And part of me wants to go, they've never succeeded. I've no idea, David. What's the answer?
Yeah, it's over a decade, 10 years. It took them 10 years to attribute. There's a fabulous ex-product director called Gibson Biddle that's written a bunch of Medium blogs. You can go and search for him. And he lays out the whole personalization strategy. It's a fascinating read. I'm sure you can give your readers the link after this chat. But he stated that personalization A was nothing more than a hypothesis. We believe by being personal towards our customers, we will see an increase in retention. Along with, by the way, like generate interactive content, you know, the Bear Grylls thing that you see nowadays where you can do this and this and this, alongside of original series from Netflix. These were all hypotheses at one point, and personalization was a hypothesis. And number two, the fact that it took over 10 years to attribute personalization towards retention, which I think, Chloe, is probably the core measure of success for personalization, loyalty. Mm-hmm. Keep coming back. And the problem I find is that the majority of retailers who embark on a project of personalization don't use that as their measure of success because it's too long term, it's not easily attributable. So instead, they use a shorter measure of success, usually a conversion rate. And that means that all their personalization efforts are geared towards one thing, a commercial one-way outcome.
And short term as well. So let me ask you a question back then, David. You put me on the spot. I'm going to put you on the spot. The Netflix example then took them 10 years to achieve that with a relatively simple data set. They're not having to factor in physical store locations. They're not having to factor in the courier screwing up. Pretty much everything is within the Netflix control. And there's a fairly limited amount of places you can be a user and interact. So an easier task than e-commerce and all the data in the world.
That's right.
And the money to go and run the proper projects and analyze it and hire the best people in the world to do it. Given that took them 10 years, is there any point in the e-commerce store who are turning over 1, 2, 3 million a year actually embarking on a proper personalization strategy? Should they just be looking at improving recommendations and improving marketing messaging?
Really good question. I would say yes, and it's probably a biased yes on top of all of that. Because I would just say to the retailer, to the e-commerce brand, would you want to be personal towards your customers? Do you care about retention? I feel as though those things of familiarity, acknowledgement, care, intimacy, authenticity, and listening, I feel as though every brand would want to embark and have that as part of their values because it's a more human experience. Am I being too virtuous here? I don't think so. And those that don't are probably the one-time sellers. right? You know, you only need a mattress every, I don't know, 7 years, 10 years, whatever it might be. So therefore, do you need to personalize? I understand that argument, but I feel as though every brand or the majority of brands should personalize because it's just a more human way of selling.
So the journey is enough.
I think so. You know, the question that I asked you, do you think personalization and segmentation are two different things? I also agree. I think, yes, they are. But I classify personalization as a communication methodology. You know, do you want to be more personal in how you speak to people? Yes, I do. Okay. Well, segmentation is obviously cutting up a series, you know, a data set into what it says on the tin, segments. But being more personal in how you communicate to those segments is more like a value or a communication methodology. It's like saying, do I want to be funny to my audience? I don't know. How do I want to come across? Do you know what I mean? It feels different than segmentation in so many ways.
So does that start with identifying customer personas, general customer research, navel gazing to identify your own mission strategy, USP, and how you put that in your copy? Where's the best place to begin the journey?
So I think there's a best place to begin, and I think there's a fundamental framework to apply. I think the best place to begin is in a name. I think if you get somebody's name, you have them for life, right? There's so many statements about how important a name is to recognize someone's identity. I mean, that's familiarity, acknowledgement, and almost care in one thing. And I think the name has been bastardized, thank you, email subject lines, and seen as spammy nowadays. But do you own a pet at all, Chloe?
No.
No, there's a pet company called Butternut Box, which I don't own a pet, but I love. And it's a guide you for a product quiz. They do pet supplies, pet food on subscription in the UK. Do you know the first question Butternut Box ask in the whole product quiz is, what is your dog's name? It has no bearing on the outcome, but Butternut Box know that you have a deep relationship with you and your pet. So by framing what is your name, they're insinuating that we care about your pet. Oh, and by the way, all the questions are like, and does Chloe the cat, like, I don't know, is she old? I don't know. I'm digging.
And a bit senile. Let's just go there.
So I think everything is in a name. Look at Starbucks, right? You know, we're a people business, not a coffee business, that type of Howard Schultz quote. I think it's fabulous. So I would start with a name. I would always ask, if you can, what's your name? And continually reinforce it. Not in a spammy way, but in a genuine caring way.
I like that starting point. I think all of us can manage that one. And then you mentioned there's a framework we should follow. So give us that framework.
So again, I'm quite biased in the framework because I ended up creating a company out of the framework. And this isn't designed to sell. This is designed, at the end of the day, for my book, I interviewed 153 different experts, reviewed 950 case studies and how many hundreds of hours of research. The number one question that came up when trying to understand personalization as a concept was, where do I start? It's exactly the same question you just asked. So you'd be classified in the majority there. And I tried to search for how people often start. And they often start in two routes. Route number one, recommendations. Very popular. I think the reason why people do that is there's a few reasons. Number one, it's easy. There's a lot of off-the-shelf vendors. Number two, it's attributable. Point-click solution. Number three, Jeff and Reed do it. Amazon and Netflix. And they're the most well-known for personalization. So I feel as though we'll just copy them. So recommendations are very popular. And number two is some form of segmentation, usually on an attribute, new versus returning, a traffic source, a device, a page type, PDP versus PLP. Those are generally the routes that people take when personalizing. My question amongst all this is, there's no person in all of that. Those are proxies for trying to be personal. How do you be personal in how you communicate, in how you segment, in how you recommend? The answer that I came up with, or I found, or some kind of epiphany and hypothesized, was intent. If you understand one's intent, where they are in their buying life stage, life cycle, you can be more appropriate in how you communicate to them. You can be more personal. If you're browsing Okay, if you're browsing, you have low intent. I'm going to ask you a bunch of different questions, or I'm going to sell to you in a completely different way than giving you the hard sell. And I feel as though most e-commerce companies assume everybody's ready to buy and they give everybody the hard sell all the time. It's because we measure on conversion, right? And whole Goodhart's law and everything, if you're aware of that. So if the answer, the framework, the fundamental framework for personalizing effectively, in my mind, is understanding customer intent.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are. It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So, David, are you ready for the top tips?
I'm scared, but I'm ready.
Cool. Okay. The book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Big Disney fan. So I'm going to go with Creativity Inc. by Ed Catmull, one of the co-creators of Pixar. Fabulous book.
Excellent. Not often recommended either. So we like a slightly different one. A traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
Don't know, but I'm going to go for TikTok because I have no idea how it works. But I find it's a unique platform that you could probably be a bit more creative in as a brand.
And hugely good at recommendations as well.
Oh my word. Yeah, we could talk about that for days. There's a big section in my book. They're one of the best.
Very good at it. Okay, before we get down the TikTok rabbit hole, the tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
Oh, it's a really geeky one. So a lot of people won't have heard of it, and it's probably only for a nuanced audience. But there's a Chrome extension called Data Slayer, which allows you to understand all the events that are sent to Google Analytics, regardless of whether you own that GA property or not. It's really cool because you can start to see, oh, who is tracking what? Do John Lewis track the navigation? And if so, what elements of the navigation do they track? It's really geeky, but we use it all the time.
We love a geeky tool, but it sounds like it's one of those geeky tools that has to come with the caveat of you have to make this, be careful of whether the website you're looking at knows what they're doing or not.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that as well.
Always the thing in marketing, never assume the person you're investigating is actually having a solid strategy behind these things. Okay, the carbon top tip. What's your favorite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
You inspired me for this because obviously when we met in Germany, I explained how awful the plane system was. And you said, you didn't get the plane over here. You got the train. And I was mighty jealous of you, not only because you got all that time back to work, but also because you did it for the good of the planet. So that is my top tip.
Love it. And yes, it was a gorgeous train journey. David, before we say goodbye, please let the audience know a little bit more about what you guys get up with at your business and where they can get in contact with you.
You can find me on LinkedIn, usually ranting about something or other. So that's just / I think it's David Mannheim. And in terms of my business, well, it's called Made of Intent. We help retailers understand the intent of their audience to allow you to understand who to prioritize, who to sell to, or who to re-engage. We have different objectives for different user sets. So that's me. Oh, you can find my book as well somewhere on Amazon, probably.
And the book is called The Person in Personalization, the story of how marketing's most treasured possession became anything but personal, and well worth a read, everybody. David, as always, it's been really good fun catching up with you. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing so much great insight with the audience.
Thank you for having me.
So personalization is a long-term game, but a journey you've all got to get on. It begins with remembering people's names and using those names. Simple, but very effective. And then you need to really understand what the intent of your site visitors and your customers are. Nail that and you are on the right journey. Really great to catch up with David. His book is available on Amazon, etc. It is called, she says, scrolling up to the right bit of the paper where she's written it down, The Person in Personalization, the story of how marketing's most treasured possession became anything but personal. Well worth a read if you are looking to build those ever stronger customer connections. You can find our notes on this episode, including the top tips and links to the things we mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com, or you can go straight to the right page by using the episode short link. That's ecmp.info/ the number of this episode. And if you want to head along a similar journey, we put another author episode out, episode 511, so 511, ecmp.info/511, where we are talking about a book called The Human Experience, which is really closely aligned to what David was talking about, coming at it from quite a different angle, more of an all-encompassing customer experience angle rather than a personalization angle, but well worth a listen alongside this one. And you can find that via that link, episode 511. And when you get to the website, why not add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the many things I share to help you improve your business? And if you like this episode and you like our kind of deep dives with authors, they're more, I guess, slightly less practical, more high-level conversations that we have, then you can find all our author episodes, all our interviews with e-commerce and other authors at ecmp.info/author. So fill your boots with those. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode and all the episodes that you do of the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along that all-important path to sustainability. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I hope you have a great week. And don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.